First John chapter 1, I don't know how far we'll get tonight. I may just lay the groundwork tonight and tell you how that the Lord dealt in my heart. And I'm hoping God will let me preach through First John. I think that'd be awesome. It's a wonderful book. I haven't looked at it recently, but just going on memory, I think the word know or known is recorded 34 times in the book of First John. God wants us to know him. He wants us to know that we know that we know that we know that we're born again, saved on our way to heaven. Amen. God don't want us to guess about that. He wants us to know it. Let's read here. The Bible said it's not very long, the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Let me ask you something. What else can you declare? You can't and do it truthfully. Amen. All you can do is declare what you've seen and what you've heard. And he said that is real to you. Then we declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now that's where I'm kind of the thoughts going tonight. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from most of our sin. Oh, y'all are looking at it, aren't you? Amen. That's good. I'm not trading Bibles. Cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I've run into some people that are deceived, haven't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to read a little bit of chapter 2. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only. Wish Tyler was in here right now. But also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your people tonight that have gathered around the Word of God. God, I'm asking you right now to pour out a blessing on that meeting down at Mountain View. Lord, I know some of the folks go to church there. It'll be good to see them again. And I pray, God, you'll bless. Bless the pastor. Bless Brother Castle, our Lord, as he leads the meeting. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless Brother Coulter. I can't help but believe he'll preach at some point in the meeting. I pray, God, you'll just bless him, use him in a mighty way. Lord, bless our time together tonight around the Word of God. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Went out on the front porch yesterday morning. And it wasn't much more than daylight. It was light enough to see how to read sitting on a porch. So I don't know exactly what time it was even, but I was sitting there on the porch, and I live out in the country, and it's until somebody goes down the road, you wouldn't know there was a sound anywhere, especially when you're half deaf. But anyway, I was sitting there, and it was just a peaceful time, and I got out the Word of God and began to read. And I came down to this place here where it says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And when I sat down to open my Bible, I prayed before I opened my Bible. But I want to tell you something. I was carrying a heavy burden. And I thought, Lord, with a burden like I'm carrying, how can my joy be full? Lord, just stop me there. I don't know about you tonight, but I've got sense enough to know, and I'm not going to start naming names or situations, but around our church, there's a lot of people carrying a heavy burden. A heavy burden. I said a heavy burden. And yet God, right in the middle of all that, he said, I'm writing to you that your joy may be full. Well, I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to go over to Peter in just a minute. But I asked the Lord, I said, God, would you show me some things in this chapter that would help me with this burden and that would help me to have some joy in my heart and in my life? And I believe that I believe there's a balance in the Christian life that sometimes is hard to find. If you're not carrying some kind of burden, I wonder what kind of Christian you are. Say amen. Brother Lance, if you ain't got somebody that you know that's unsaved and going to die and go to hell without God, that you're praying for, trying to live before them in a way that would point them to Jesus. You don't have a loved one or a friend or a neighbor. Well, all you'd have to do is come to prayer meeting around here, and if you leave without a burden, what you're saying is, I don't care. What kind of Christian would that be that would say, I don't care, when they hear the needs of God's people? Let's look at this. I'm going to 1 Peter now, chapter number 1, verse number 8, or verse number 6, and then we're going to go back to 1 John, and I'm going to show you what God spoke to my heart about, how that you can have joy even when you're carrying that burden. Jesus carried the burden of all burdens. He carried our sin to the cross. He was willing to be separated from his Father, that you and I would never have to be separated from him again after we come to meet him in the free pardon of sin. The Bible said in verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, what's those next three words? For a season. Well, glory to God. Where the joy comes from, it's not for a season. Where the joy comes from is an eternal truth. But where the burdens come from, listen to me tonight, it's just for a season. And I'm going to tell you something, the season's short. If you live to be 100 years old, the season will still be short. Look at this now. He said, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I believe you look at that in the Word of God. Sometimes it's talking about a temptation as a solicitation to do evil. But sometimes it's just talking about trouble. Like Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days, little season, full of trouble. Watch this now. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm not adding to the Word of God tonight, but what God is saying is, he'd like to see us act in such a manner in the middle of the burden that it would make him smile. That he would get glory. Watch this now. Whom having not seen, there's not one person in here that's seen him. But can I get a witness? Is there anybody in here that loves him? I've never seen him, but I love him. I've never seen that big rock Tyler talked about over there, but I know that big rock rolled away. And he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Years ago, I had the privilege to go to Israel. I was standing there, and that man was giving that spiel. This is where they believe they laid the body of Jesus. And I began to weep. Preacher alongside of me said, what's the matter? I said, ain't nothing matter. I said, I'm just glad I didn't have to get on an airplane and fly all the way over here to know that tomb was empty. I said, it was a living Savior that moved into my heart that night. Changed my life. Watch what he said. Whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet, what's that next word? Believing. Are there any believers in the house tonight? He said, you rejoice with joy. If I'm reading this right, the manifold temptations, though now for a season, right in the middle of all of it, there's joy again right here in Peter's writings. There's trouble, but there's joy. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tonight, I want you to turn. I didn't plan on doing this. I'm just laying some groundwork. Turn with me to the book of Corinthians. God just put this passage of Scripture in my heart. Goes along with what I said a moment ago. I believe it's, let's see here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I believe it's long about chapter number 4. I believe that's right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible said here in verse number 15, for all things, let me back up to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now wait a minute. Listen to me carefully. Paul is, I'm going to go to another passage in a minute. God's just leading over that way. But Paul is a man that knew what it was to suffer, knew what it was to be in trouble. But at the same time, he knew what it was to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said here, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a text, I can't remember where it is. I believe it's in Nehemiah. That's right, Nehemiah chapter number 8. They had found the word of God. Ezra had stood up on a pulpit of wood, and he told them not to weep, not to mourn. He said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Our strength, beloved, does not come from what's going on around us. Our strength comes from what's going on within us, on the inside. Watch this now. Watch this, please. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's where the joy come from. I went to the ports with the burden. That's all I could see was the burden. I couldn't see the burden bearer. But I saw the burden. I went to the ports with the burden. I went in prayer with the burden. I went into the Scripture with the burden. But I'm going to tell you, I came out of 1 John chapter 1 with a blessing. Boy, did God light a fire in my heart. He said here, while we look not at the things which are seen. That's where the burdens come from, Sister Brenda. I can't imagine how that boy's leg is chopped up. You and I both know he may lose it, don't we? They've already taken 2 of the 3 muscles out. We have no idea, but his life is forever changed. I promise you that. We got the burden from what we see and what we hear going on. Watch where the blessing comes from. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If we don't get anything else out of this meeting tonight, I want to tell you what we're looking at is temporal. And when we're looking up, it's eternal. What I was looking at that day when I went on the porch was temporal, but when I got in this book, I was looking at something that's eternal. The Word of God. And God let me see the God of the Word. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians. Let's turn over a little bit. I want to show you what Paul called light affliction. Would you do that with me? We're not going to get to 1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to introduce it tonight. I think you know how we're going now. We'll get to the blessing after a while, though, when we get over there. Amen. I promise you that. Watch this now. The Bible said in chapter 20, verse 24 of chapter 11, Let's read a little bit about the Apostle Paul's life. This man that has joy. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You can read that in a little verse of Scripture, but does anybody know what that's really saying? What it was like to be tied to a whipping post and to be scourged. 39 stripes across your back. And I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't like Daddy getting a switch, amen, off of the maple tree. That whip would jerk hunks of flesh out of your back. It would leave you scarred the rest of your life. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. 3 different times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeyed often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils in my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. And I really believe this is one that hurt Paul about as bad as any of them, in perils among false brethren. People that said they loved God. People that said they loved Paul. People that said they loved the Word of God. Watch this now. In weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily. I never did forget this, Brother Ralph, when I was a missionary for 10 years. I tried to teach our men the care of all the churches. I told our men, I said, some of you, all you're interested in when you go into a church is what that church can do for you. I said, why don't you get under a burden and realize that pastor's under a burden, those people are under a burden, and ask God to give you something to help them. Amen. Paul, when he was out, yes, he was on the missionary, he's on the journey. What was he doing in prison? He's writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. You want to know why? He couldn't get them out of his heart. Writing a letter to the church at Philippi. Writing a letter to Timothy. Writing a letter to Titus. He couldn't get them out of his heart. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say my burden's looking smaller all the time. Here's a man that's carrying an intense burden. Watch this now. He said, besides those things are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Oh, I just caught something. Brother Steve, when he said those things which are thou, that's what we just read about, the beatings and the stonings and all that stuff. But he said, besides the things without, something going on within. He wasn't just under a burden because of what was going on his back. But he was what was going on in a broken heart. The care of all the churches. Watch this now. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Narrowly escaped death. Watch what verse 1 of chapter 12 said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Can I just say this tonight? Everybody ought to underline that in your Bible. When your burden gets to where you can't carry it, God knoweth. He knows what's going on. Watch this now. He said, God knoweth, such a one caught up in the third heaven. I believe the Apostle Paul got to see Jesus, don't you? Watch what the Bible said in verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said it again. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Did you ever stop sometimes and just think about this? How many's glad you saved? How many's glad you're in church? Can you ever stop and think about this? Where might you be without the trials? Where might you be? Where might I be if there was never a burden? I might be a TV evangelist. Sow your $20 seed. I guess they give up on a $20 bill a long time ago. Amen. Where would we be? God used Paul in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Not without a burden. But he has joy. Watch this now. Lest I should be exalted above measure the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That's on top of everything we've already read. I can't be dogmatic about this. I believe the Bible's not, we're not exactly sure, because I believe God wanted it to fit every life. If you've got a thorn, God might take it if you ask him to, and he might not. Paul's thorn was given to him to keep him from being exalted above measure. I'll be honest with you. My pastor, he's the one that taught this years ago, right after I was saved. He said he believed every time Paul stood up to preach, old Slewfoot gouged him and said, tell it. Tell it. Tell about that experience where you went into paradise in the presence of God. Old Slewfoot knew that if Paul would tell it, they'd be lifting up Paul instead of lifting up Jesus. A preacher that's worth his salt, when God shows him something, can't wait to tell it. I told my family one time, I said, if it ever gets to where nobody wants to listen, we're going to go over and cut us a tree down, set on the stump. Because I'm going to keep telling it. Can't help it. Watch what he said. Lest I should be exalted above measure, given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. How many believe Paul could get a hold of God? Have you ever thought, listen to me carefully, have you ever thought when God didn't answer your prayer the way you thought he ought to answer your prayer that you wasn't getting a hold of God? Maybe you were getting a hold of God. Maybe God said, I got something better in mind. Help me tonight. He said, I besought the Lord three times. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Where does joy come from? Something going on in here. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your strength, in our weakness. Brother Ralph, how many of us would be weak without a burden? How many of us would be weak without a trial, without tribulation, without trouble? There's a little phrase in the beginning of Job there that I'm reminded of. Job was living right, righteous, praying for his kids. God was blessing his life. And these three little words, yet trouble came. You remember that? 1 John said, I'm writing to you. There's a reason I'm writing. Sitting on the porch, Pastor Rick, Pastor Vinoy, there's a reason I'm writing. That your joy might be full. How many believes? Let me finish reading this. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I complain, because God didn't do what I asked him to do. No, he said, all glory in my infirmities. Why? How many believes when we get to griping, the power of Christ is not resting on us? How many believes that tonight, really? Have you felt like his presence just wasn't real and found out it's because you were griping and complaining in your spirit? Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, because if this is what it takes, I tell you what we need, Coulter, in every meeting. We need the hand of God on us. That's what we need in every home. That's what we need in every church. We just need the hand of God on us. And Paul is saying in so many words, I'm going to glory in my infirmities because I just want to live the rest of my life with the hand of God on me. Now, Brother Lance, Paul's able to go over to Timothy, and he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, I'm fixing to leave out. Remember it? The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. How many remembers that? I finished my course. What else did he do? He kept the faith. It's amazing to me. I've mentioned it before from this pulpit. But there are people that give up on God when things don't go well. It breaks my heart to think about it every time I think about it. A lady told me not too long ago, I'm mad at God. I'm going to tell you something. I looked at her with tears in my eyes. I said, sis, it'd be a lot easier to deal with if you were mad at me. Honey, God is good. I believe that's what Job was saying when he was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, when he had lost his children, when he had lost his fortune, when he said to his wife, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was saying God is good. He was saying, honey, when I was praying for the kids, God was good. When we had everything, God was good. When I had my health, God was good. But he's saying, God's still good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me just give you the first one, okay? We'll come back and preach it later. The first word that God showed me, 1 John, back over 1 John chapter 1. Can I tell you, God knows our burden tonight? Can I tell you, he's a wonderful burden bearer. The first word that God gave me five words in the chapter. The first word is the word beginning. That which was from the beginning. Let me share this. It's 5 minutes after eight and we've got classes going on, kids going to school. We need to get out of here, but let me share this with you right quickly. Here's how God spoke to my heart, Brother Steve. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that right? Brother Gary, if he's big enough to speak this world into existence, is he big enough for whatever we need tonight? If he's big enough to create a man And not only create a man, but in his heart and in his mind, he already had a plan. God didn't say oops when Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden. God said, I've got a lamb. That lamb was slain according to the word of God before the foundation of the world. He said, preacher, where are you getting any joy out of this? Let me tell you where I'm getting it. The things come, beloved, with a text. They come with a phone call sometimes. They come suddenly. But he knew all the time. He knew. He knows every turn. He knows every trial. And I'll say it with the songwriter, Sister Kathy, no one ever cared for us like Jesus. I believe I'm speaking to some people tonight that know what it is. You care. And because you carry a burden. Some have children that are wayward, grandchildren that are wayward. Children or grandchildren that are not saved. I tell you tonight, the Lord knows and the Lord cares. Amen. We'll come back to more of that on the beginning, but for tonight, sorry, Sister Marge, they won't let me stay all night. On the parking lot a while ago, Sister Danita, I held this up and said it's going to be a little sermon tonight. She said, I wanted to stay all night. I like that. Amen. You say, preacher, why? Because the Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. God fill us. I pray God fill that meeting, Brother Coulter. Fill hearts and lives. He may call someone to preach in that meeting. He may call a missionary out of that meeting. He may give somebody clear direction for their life in that meeting. That's how serious it is. Amen. We just never know what God's going to do. I'm just glad I know He's still doing. He's still on the throne. And He's still doing. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen.